This morning I wanted to talk to you about taking a chance on your dreams. You were given when you came in this morning 2 3-by-5 cards, a pen. And based on what Peggy said, all of those who are watching on YouTube, you had a chance to run and grab a pen and paper. Is there anybody here who doesn't have 3x5 cards and a pen? If you raise your hand, Mary can make sure to bring it to you. Okay, so we're set. Part of what I wanted to do this morning was to offer you an opportunity to think a little bit about your very own dreams. And so one of the 3x5 cards is for that reason. I'm going to give you 1 minute to list out all the dreams that are on your mind right now and all the ones that are in your heart. So take a minute and write them down. They can be big or they can be small. They can take a lot of time or no time at all. Maybe you want to go to Hawaii. Maybe you want to learn a new recipe. Whatever it is, write them down. Ding. It's really surprising how fast a minute goes by when you're involved in something, but it's an incredibly long time to stand here and do nothing watching you do that. So, but I counted slowly. Now I want you to take another minute, not really a minute, a little bit. What I'd like you to do is to read over your list and circle the one that's the most important to you. The thing about this is you can do more of this if you want to. It doesn't have to be just sitting here or sitting at home or wherever you're traveling and joining us via YouTube. You can do this again and again and again, but for right now, the one that you circled on the back side of your 3x5 card or the second 3x5 card, what I'd like you to do is to imagine that you have completed that dream. It's become a reality. What I'd like you to do is to think about how is it you feel about that, about having completed that dream. Write down and share a little bit with yourself. Just take a minute to do that. How do you feel about having completed that dream? Thank you. Okay, I'm going to jump in now, and please feel free to keep writing later on when you're in your own free time. I wanted to share with you that I believe that there are many ways for us to pursue our dreams. Some are much more effective than others. One of the ways some folks pursue their dreams is via New Year's resolutions. But if you've tried that, you've probably noticed that some part of you recognizes that you've chosen something way too big and that you really can't manage it, and that it becomes disheartening, and you get a sense that you tried but you were unsuccessful, and there is a little feeling of failure that goes along with it, and some discouragement. So I'm going to suggest a different approach to you. The approach I'm going to suggest is baby steps. I think anybody who's been around babies and seen them take their first steps, it's a pretty wonderful experience. And the look on their face is pretty magnificent. What they do is they stand up and they hold on to something for safety and support. Could be the table or a chair, it could be their parent. Whatever it is that they find handy. They don't run across the room right away. They take a couple of tentative steps. They recognize that they're standing up and they've just taken a step, and that can be pretty magnificent for them. I'm going to suggest that maybe we learn something from them and that we take some baby steps. And you might be thinking, well, if I take baby steps, how am I ever going to realize my dreams? My dreams are kind of big and baby steps might not get me there. So I thought about one thing that I experienced in my life. When I was, probably 12 years old, I went to YMCA camp. We did a lot of things at the camp, but we also went out. And so we went out into the Adirondacks, and we climbed a high peak. The one we climbed was Colden. And it has a sheer rock face to it that you have to traverse as part of the trail up. It's a very steep climb. I'm glad I did it then. I couldn't do it now. So what ended up happening was that it's back and forth a lot, and it takes a very long time, especially if there's slow kids in front of you. But we all made it to the top. And the view from the top was absolutely magnificent. It was just splendid to be up there and to look out at all the other mountain peaks. We were all pretty tired, so I sat down, and I looked at the ground next to me, and there were a bunch of ants crawling around doing ant things, picking up stuff and taking it from one place to another, and I thought to myself, they're only like this big, and I'm this big, and it took me how long to get up here? How long would it take an ant to get from the bottom of Colden to the top to be where these ants were? And I thought, well, baby ant steps, I guess. But they made it. And I think that's a valuable lesson for us, because we tend to think that some things are not possible. Well, that ant, there's probably ants at the bottom of the hill thinking that, but there's ants at the top of the mountain knowing that isn't the truth. I think there are a few things worth considering. And I think on your way toward realizing your dreams, one of them is our relationship to the obstacles we face along the way. And I'm going to name a few for you, and you can see if any of these belong to you. They generally start out with a statement of not enough. There's not enough time. There's not enough money. I'm not smart enough or talented enough. There aren't enough resources. There isn't enough cooperation for me to do this or support for me. The list kind of goes on, and I'm sure you can add your own to that. And whether we call them obstacles or reasons, they all serve to prevent some smooth sailing. And sometimes we just want to give up, and we feel overwhelmed and powerless. Each time an obstacle approaches and appears to us, we're presented with a great opportunity, because we can shift our perspective about them And I'm going to suggest that instead of viewing them as an obstacle or a reason not to succeed, that you view them as step stools. And as you climb on there, you can see further into the distance. So then you can see your next pathway. You can use them, and if you desire, you can also ask for help and support. And realize that each obstacle that we release allows us to increase our energy. And that we can see the truth about obstacles is they are powerless. Who's powerful is we are. Because the power, really, to achieve all our dreams lies inside of us. I wanted to share a bit with you about this. There's some examples from my life I'd like to tell you about. My intention here is that within each of these stories, there's something valuable for you, some insight that you can use to inspire yourself with achieving your dreams. In 2018, I wrote a play titled Nine, A Holy Week Story of Love. It's centered on the events that took place the last week of Jesus' life on earth. I have to confess to you that I was very afraid about what others would think about this, that they would call me crazy or a heretic. And I wondered, and I thought, what's their reaction going to be? Because this is a pretty audacious, bold, unprovable claim that I could speak for Jesus. Because what I channeled departed significantly from conventional Christianity, and it represented a real risk for me to say this. I was stepping out into the complete unknown, and in part, it was really a demand for courage. It's a courage I didn't believe I possessed. But here's the thing about dreams. They challenge you to discover things about yourself. And in this case, it was important for me to be true to myself, to what I felt and believed, despite any concerns that I had. In June of 2014, I was a part of a wonderful 4T class facilitated by our very own John Frederick. And John, if you're out there watching via YouTube, bonjour, thank you. One of my first dreams was to offer a message here at Unity Church in Albany, right here at this very lectern. And I think that I would not have been able to do that had it not been for the support I received from that 4T group. But I did wonder to myself, who am I to offer a message to anyone else? What can I say that would be of value to anyone? I had some real concerns about what folks would think. I was relatively new to the community, had not spoken from here, but had been platform assistant many times. But I discovered that for myself, without trying, I'd never actually know. And I had to listen to my inner voice, which kept nudging me and prompting me to do this. I think that's common to achieving anyone's dreams. They're in there, and they want to come out, and they are going to tell you that. And what I learned was I have no control over what anyone else's reaction is going to be. And in fact, that isn't up to me anyway. Not only don't I have it, I don't want it. What I did want then and what I do want now is to speak what feels true to me and then let others decide whether or not it feels true to them. And maybe it does and maybe it doesn't, and maybe it just spurs them on to what does feel true. In 1990, I wrote my very first book called Witness of the Heart. That was an incredible journey for me, Maureen and I were both working full-time, and we had a 6-year-old boy and a 9-year-old girl, very active. So there wasn't a lot of free time. So I thought, how am I going to carve out any free time? And so what I did was I ended up writing from 10 o'clock at night till 2 in the morning. And I did this many, many, many nights. It felt incredibly important to me, and I wanted to give birth to this book. But I wondered, is anybody going to care? Are they going to read it? Are they going to buy it? And I decided the way to go was to submit it to an agent. Let them shepherd it through the publication process. So I sent out lots and lots of letters to lots and lots of agents and got, you probably guessed it already, lots and lots of rejection letters. And I think we all have our own kind of inner demons. I wrote a post about that on my website today, which is why I gave you the little website note, so you can check that out if you'd like to. For those of you who are watching, it's messagesforinspiration.com. And rejection is one of my inner demons. So to put myself out there in this publishing world only to get rejection letters was a pretty hard, challenging thing to do. But see, that's really the reason I think that dreams come, is that they mean for you to grow. And this was an excellent opportunity for me. But part of me said, why even try? Well, because once a dream takes residence in you, its natural course of action is to live outside of you. It wants to be free, to be among the world. So I think the commitment is there that you want to give it breath. What I learned is it's not about giving ideas and dreams birth. It's what happens after, but that's everyone else's business. So I did what I could do, and then everyone else, they decide what they want to. So I think the non-attachment to the outcome becomes really important. During the shaping and the creation of any dream, it's entirely reasonable to wonder, what if I fail? Here's the question I chose to ask myself. So what if I do? What then? And I decided that I had to acknowledge it and learn from it and try something different if it failed. And I realized that the surest way to fail is to never try to begin with. Became extremely important to me to accept that failure is an integral part of the dream process and to recognize it didn't have to jeopardize or adversely affect my success. So I'd like to suggest something to you. I'd like to imagine that each of you came here with dreams already inside you. But not only that, you came here with the power to make them all come true. What you may find is that you get the nudges to make you pay attention. Of course, it's my choice, it's your choice to accept them or ignore them. What feels like the truth to me is that dreams are unrealized thoughts, ideas, and feelings. And they present gaps. There's a gap between what I have right now and what I'm going to have in the future. But it's up to each of us to decide whether or not we're going to breathe life into our dreams. So I'm imagining sitting here just doing kind of a rough count at, let's say there's 25 people here in this sanctuary, and out there in the greater world, let's just say there were another 25 people watching. That's 50 dreams. And imagine that each one of you pursued your circled dream from your 3x5 card or your paper, and that you decided that you were going to breathe life into it, that represents 50 dreams out there in the world, and all of what changes as a result of that. And frankly, that just absolutely astounds me to think of. We're each capable of changing the world each time we share our dream. Whether it's personal to you or it's a greater dream, maybe it's walking across the Rip Van Winkle Bridge. You know, whatever your dream is, and other people can share that. And I'd like to conclude by offering you a summary of some ideas to consider while you're pursuing your dreams. The first one is, it's okay to take baby steps. It's probably more than okay. It's probably the ideal thing to do. I'd like to have you consider to trust in your inner knowingness and to take a chance. Along the way, accept some failures and realize that it's all part of the process. I'd like to encourage you to be true to your heart, to what you hear inside, what you feel inside, because your heart never lies to you. And I'd like you to consider releasing any need to control anything or any outcome. The dream is yours, but the response to your dream belongs to everyone else. And when you need help, I encourage you to ask for it, to find some person that will support you or some group that will encourage you, and to give yourself permission to give birth to your dreams, because the world really does need them. And remember that you came here with the power to make all your dreams come true. I'd like to thank you for allowing me to be with you this morning and help make one of my dreams come true. Thank you.